story repeats. Or, if you prefer to think of it like this, stories are a parasitical life form, warping lives in the service only of the story itself. And people are wrong about urban myths. Logic and reason say that these are fictional creations retold again and again by people who are hungry for evidence of weird coincidence, natural justice, and so on. They aren't. They keep on happening all the time, everywhere, as the stories bounce back and forth across the universe. At any one time, hundreds of dead grandmothers are being whisked away on the roof racks of stolen cars, and loyal Alsatians are choking on the fingers of midnight burglars. And they're not confined to any one world. Hundreds of female Mercurian Jivputs turn four tiny eyes on their rescuers and say, "My brood husband will be livid. It was his travel module." Urban myths are alive. It takes a special kind of person to fight back and become the bicarbonate of history. Once upon a time, grey hands gripped the hammer and swung it, striking the post so hard that it sank a foot into the soft earth. Two more blows and it was fixed immovably. From the trees around the clearing, the snakes and birds watched silently. In the swamp, the alligators drifted like patches of bad-assed water. Grey hands took up the crosspiece and fixed it in place, tying it with creepers, pulling them so tight that they creaked. She watched him, and then she took up a fragment of mirror and tied it to the top of the post. "The coat," she said. He took up the coat and fitted it over the crosspiece. The pole wasn't long enough so that the last few inches of sleeve draped emptily. "And the hat," she said. It was tall and round and black. It glistened. The piece of mirror gleamed between the darkness of the hat and the coat.
"Will it work?" he said.
"Yes," she said. "Even mirrors have their reflection. We got to fight mirrors with mirrors." She glared up through the trees to a slim white tower in the distance. "We've got to find her reflection."
"It'll have to reach out a long way, then."
"Yes, we need all the help we can get." She looked around the clearing. She had called upon Mr. Safeway, Lady Bon Anna, Hotaloga Andrews, and Stridewide Man. They probably weren't very good gods, but they were the best she'd been able to make. This is a story about stories, or what it really means to be a fairy godmother. But it's also particularly about reflections and mirrors. All across the multiverse, there are backward tribes, considered backward, that is, by people who wear more clothes than they do, who distrust mirrors and images because they say they steal a bit of a person's soul and there's only so much of a person to go round. And the people who wear more clothes say this is just superstition, despite the fact that other people who spend their lives appearing in images of one sort or another seem to develop a thin quality. It's put down to overwork and, tellingly, overexposure instead. Just a superstition. But a superstition doesn't have to be wrong. A mirror can suck up a piece of soul. A mirror can contain the reflection of the whole universe, a whole sky full of stars in a piece of silvered glass no thicker than a breath. Know about mirrors, and you nearly know everything. Look into the mirror further, to an orange light on a cold mountain top, thousands of miles from the vegetable warmth of that swamp. Local people called it the Bear Mountain. This was because it was a bear mountain, not because it had a lot of bears on it. This caused a certain amount of profitable confusion, though. People often strode into the nearest village with heavy-duty crossbows, traps and nets, and called haughtily for native guides to lead them to the bears. Since everyone locally was making quite a good living out of this, what with the sale of guidebooks, maps of bear caves, ornamental cuckoo clocks with bears on them, bear walking sticks and cakes baked in the shape of a bear, somehow no one had time to go and correct the spelling. Bad spelling can be lethal. For example, the greedy serif of Al-Ibi was once cursed by a badly educated deity, and for some days everything he touched turned to Glod, which happened to be the name of a small dwarf from a mountain community hundreds of miles away who found himself magically dragged to the kingdom and relentlessly duplicated. Some 2,000 Glods later, the spell wore off. These days, the people of Al-Ibi